Hello and welcome. I'm Ian John and this is the Songwriters Club podcast, songwriting for the unsigned and unsung. Join me on my journey into the art of songwriting as I interview singer-songwriters and gather valuable tips and advice. In each episode, I will be chatting to a different singer-songwriter and asking them to give us their top 8 tips for better songwriting. They'll also be performing 5 of their own songs live in the studio. So let's get started. This is episode 1 with the brilliant MG Bolter. And by way of introduction, we're going to jump straight into MG Bolter's music as he performs his first song for us.
Kids go up to a lawnmower drone. Their kids grow to move away from home. By seafront palisades, they're swapping smokes before they're gone. When London stretches her fingers out, all these planes fly away. From the roof of my house, I watch their bellies ascend. All these options, we're dying to find out. Praise the Lord of Silver, he moves faster than I could ever hope to fly. Meanwhile, in the city on Tower Hill, the taxi men, they park in single file. They are hungry for fares, and they park bumper to taillight. They watch mini TVs with tired eyes. And city boys in their Sunday best, drunk on status, hiding behind mobile phones. Do they know beneath their feet lie the bones of boy kings killed by men long ago? It's in the hum of the heating, the frost in the museum waiting to thaw in the sun. It's the only shop open. Kids are working aimlessly the aisles like zombies, waiting for their lives to start. And the sliding doors, they chatter apart as if they're speaking directly to my heart. Leave this town, leave this town, you have your chance. But I slip through them and out into the dark.
MG Bolter, I am so excited about this.
Me too, Ian, me too. Good to be here.
Thanks, Matt. That was absolutely brilliant. So just to kick things off, I think it's really important that introduce yourself. You've introduced yourself with a wonderful song. So just tell us a little bit about the musician, the music, and as will become the norm on the show, we want a bit of a myth. Any myths that you have about songwriting that you've dispelled over the years?
Yeah, the man behind the myth. Well, hello everyone. I'm MG Bolter. I'm a singer-songwriter from Southend in Essex, and I've been writing songs since the age of 11. and I'm not 11 anymore. I'm in my late 30s. I've released numerous albums and EPs as MG Bolter since about 2012. And before that, I was releasing other albums under different names, such as Blue Vinyl Island and The Whispering Pines. And I've also been in lots of bands. I've collaborated with lots of musicians nationally and internationally. I've toured the US, Canada, UK, Europe with my music and in other people's bands. So that's me. That's my that's my history. I think one myth, that's a really interesting question. I think one thing that I always was told when I was starting out, and it was because I was playing in a lot of pubs and I was in lots of rock bands, and people always was telling me, oh, it's not fast enough. You know, it's got to be good time music. You've got to make people dance. And yeah, it's great to have good time music and dance music, but actually not all music is designed for that. So you can follow your own path, I think. You don't have to please the crowd, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. And just in regards to your music, sort of influences that you had over the years, do they change, or do you feel that you sit comfortably one place or the other?
Yeah, I think my influences do change. I think that's really important as a musician. People are doing new music all the time. Every day new music comes out. And I think it's important to keep your ear to that and be inspired by it. I really am inspired by a lot of classic singer-songwriters, old style, big hitters like Bob Dylan, Neil Young. When I first heard those songwriters, Nick Cave, when I was about 18, I sort of came across those guys, and they really challenged me in songwriting. I remember listening to some of those songs thinking, you can't say that, you can't sing that. And actually you can, and that was very liberating. Patti Smith is another one. Just lyrically, it's just mind-blowing what she does. But then, musicians bit sort of later on, I was a big fan, still am a big fan of a guy called Conor Oberst, Bright Eyes, a great lyricist, Iron and Wine, The Shins, a lot of American bands, actually, a lot of American musicians I've mentioned. But, always inspired. And, some of my early memories were watching Top of the Pops 2 and Rory Gallagher on that and guitar playing, and that really inspired me too. And I think recently I've got into more sort of chamber arrangements, classical arrangements, the use of strings and woodwind. So yeah, I think you develop as a musician and you develop your tastes.
Oh, great. And talking about inspiration, I need to have full disclosure here. So there's an absolute purpose and reason why I asked you to come in as guest number one.
Right.
And that's because it was your inspiration, you inspiring me, that this podcast came about, but also the format as well. So just to let people know about our history. So I first met you a number of years ago. I think the first time I saw you was with the Lucky Strikes.
Indeed, yeah.
Saw you at a number of venues and followed you. And then I've seen individual work that you've done. And then we linked up for some songwriting for young musicians locally. Not that I had any influence on what was going on with the songwriting. I was just purely admin, but that seems to be what I'm quite good at. So I remember seeing you with the young musicians and also with adult musicians. We've done some adult songwriting together, which I then a couple of years ago joined to start thinking, why am I just sitting here doing the admin? I need to get involved. And one of the things that you brought to those sessions was your top 10 tips.
Yeah, the top 10
and
tips.
And it was written on a board, if you remember, back then.
Yeah.
And we were all frantically taking photos. And when I first started off, I kept that list. And actually, I'm so pleased that one of my favourite ones is on the list that you're going to give
good,
us later.
Good.
And so that was a big inspiration in that sense of that nice, digestible, bite-sized way of having some tips around it. And that's how I then thought, okay, so if I'm going to do this podcast, we're going to do it like a list, so people have got something to take away that's easily digestible. And then, of course, the other thing is that you're recording a podcast at the moment.
I am, yes.
That links in with your album, Clifftown. And of course, I got interviewed for other things that I do. And I just, we were chatting also at the time off from the podcast about songwriting, and it just struck me then that this would be a really good thing to do. 8 tips in a podcast with songwriters. So, yeah, you're to blame. So
brilliant. Excellent.
You're the inspiration behind this. So
I'm actually really pleased. I think we were saying just before the mics were turned on, you know, creativity is about, you know, inspiring other people, and then those people take that inspiration and make something slightly different, something slightly newer.
Yeah.
And it goes on.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say now, and I hope people will listen as we go through, and you've got some songs to play for us. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a couple of tips from you, and then you're gonna play a song, and then a couple more, so it's a nice balance. But one of the things I've always noticed, and I remember vividly hearing this song, and you'll have to excuse me, but you'll know what it is and you'll remember the title, but you talked about someone being stabbed in Venezuela in one of your songs.
Yes.
And I remember hearing this, listening to this song and hearing that and thinking, how have you got that into a lyric and made that work? And it does. And it was fantastic. And I think there was a moment then for me listening to that, that lyrically, you took me somewhere where I thought you couldn't go, you know? And that's what I love about your music as a fan is that certainly lyrically, as I'm learning lyrics, you take the listener somewhere where they just wouldn't have thought that they could have gone. Mm. I didn't think I'd be transporting to a knife fight in Venezuela when I was listening to one of your songs. So that's another disclosure from me, and I'm hoping that as we go along, people will listen to the lyrics because I've always found that they're really rich.
Yeah, and maybe I'll reserve comment for when we go into the tips, but I think it's really important as a songwriter, and I think, you know, before we go into the tips, I think when you originally invited me to talk to the adult classes, you know, that really made me reflect on what I do as a songwriter, because I think a lot of songwriters don't think about it as a craft, they just think about it as something that they do, but actually there's a lot of tips and hints and thought processes and rituals that you can do to write certain songs. And for me, writing songs that are truthful, not necessarily factual, but truthful and have an essence about them that speaks to human experience, then that's a worthy song, in my opinion, and a knife fight in Venezuela. And that was actually a true story.
Yeah.
So if it's a true story and you want to say that in your song, you've got to do it. You've got to say it. And
I think the other thing about talking to people about songwriting, and that one of the things I think I found very earlier on is that people aren't always ready to give you their advice about songwriting, because it's a very, very personal thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm really appreciative for you and all the songwriters that we're going to get on here that feel that they can share that, because people get very protective about their own tips
absolutely
and things, don't they?
Yeah.
So, excellent. Well, we've mentioned it, so should we get straight into it? So let's do the first one. What's your first tip, Matt?
Okay, so my first tip, I think this is quite an important one for me, and I preface all of this with these tips work for me, and I wouldn't expect them to work for everyone, but I think this first tip, top tip, should work for everyone, and that is keeping a notebook and keeping a running record of your thoughts and processes. And I started keeping a notebook of my lyrics back in 1997. And at home I have a bookshelf full of every notebook that I've ever filled up with my lyrics and my ideas. And I think this is a really, really important tip, because when you're feeling inspiration, it might not be the time that you've got a guitar or a piano to hand and you're ready to, you know, write a song. You might be cooking dinner for your kids. You might be on the train going to work. They're not ideal times to suddenly write the next, you know, instant number one hit. So having a notebook on you at all times, something portable, allows you to scribble those ideas down. And in really fertile periods for me, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm scribbling things down. You overhear conversations, you scribble things down. You might see a building that's really inspirational, so you might just jot it, you might draw it, you might sketch it, you might write some poetry, you might doodle. Whatever inspires you, you keep it in one place, because at those moments when you are sitting down with your guitar, because you've got a quiet hour and you're suddenly thinking, well, I'm not really inspired, you can open that notebook and you can, you'll find that inspiration that you wrote on the train 2 days ago or 2 years ago even, and you'll suddenly go straight back to it. So the mind is a very interesting thing and a very clever thing when you do that sort of association. And you can just read a lyric and you're bang, you're straight back into that inspiration. So I think that's my top tip. Keep a running record, because you never know when things work. You know, you could slave over a song for a month and it doesn't work, and then 6 months later you've got another great verse, you go back to that song, you go, oh, hang on, you know, all those rubbish lyrics I'd written that I hated, I don't need those anymore. I can just take that really good first verse that I loved and marry it with this second verse that I've just written 6 months later. If you're just writing on the hoof and you've not got a record of that stuff, then you can't do that. You'll forget, you know, you forget things. So, and there's a really interesting thing that happens for me, and this will be my last point, I think, on this tip, is that you also get what a friend of mine referred to as scrapyard songs, which are songs that completely, well, not completely, but are made entirely of disparate lyrics. You know, you've not sat down and written a song about something. You've just picked out, you know, five or six different parts of ideas and you just glue them together. And I've written so many songs in a minute just by looking through old notebooks and going, oh, that's about me driving along a road. Oh, and this is about me stopping at a road. Oh, hang on, glue those together. Oh, yeah, that really works. Make a few little edits, a few changes, and your song's there, and you've not even tried. All you've done is write some things down when they came to you.
That's fantastic. And I have to say, Matt, when you're talking about keeping notebooks and that, I am seeing actual notebooks. I'm not seeing the digital age when you say it. So do you do this on your phone, or do you actually have physical pen and paper?
Yeah. So I'm a very pen and paper kind of guy. I'm not very digital. I've actually got my latest notebook here, which I'm showing to Ian for all those listening. This is an emergency notebook. I had to buy this in a supermarket because of lockdown. No shops were open. But I will buy sturdy notebooks.
Yeah.
And a notebook usually lasts me about 8 or 9 months. That's how long it takes to fill a notebook up for me. And I number them so I can go back in time to find out certain things. I use a pen, and I have that in my bag or my coat pocket at all times.
So do you actually, I mean, obviously there's song ideas and things like that, but do you actually diarise in it? Do you actually sort of write what you've done in the day in there?
I do occasionally. I think there's a technique that I learned, which is almost like a bonus tip, is that sometimes writing in prose helps you write lyrics. So if you're trying to write a song about, I don't know, going on holiday, rather than trying to fit it into stanzas and short lines to fit your song, just write it like an essay or a story. I went on holiday last year and I really enjoyed it, etc., etc. And actually, by writing in prose, you then... You can pick out the essence of what you actually want to say. And that's how, that for example, that song you were talking about, the knife fight in Venezuela, that was, you know, I wrote that in prose first, because to write that as a lyric is you know, it's really esoteric. You've got to come from it from quite a bleak angle. So if you just write what you want to say normally in prose and then you distill it down.
Got 2 for 1 there, haven't we?
Yeah, 2 for 1. Yeah, that's the bonus.
So let's hear those. That's all great. I think that's some great information there. So let's have your number two tip.
Right. So number two tip, and I think this is again, this is a really important tip, and it's one I didn't really realise or reflect upon until much later. And again, I think this is, I don't think it just applies to people just starting out. I think it applies to anyone at any stage. But working out what you want to say and what sort of musician/songwriter you want to be. And there are different ways of doing that. And I think I found a nice furrow for me. I know what I want to write. I know how I want to sound. I don't want to be screaming down a microphone like heavy metal. I've tried that in the past, but I've realised now that that's not the sort of genre I want to be, or this or that or the other. So I think it's really nice to find your truth as a musician. So if you are really inspired by American West, you know, like Cadillacs and the big open, you know, epic American songs, then do that. Let that be your thing. If you're into comedy and you actually think, actually, I want to make my songs a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit funny, then write that. And because whatever you do, that will, you know, whatever you do and you love it, that will be what you give your best to, if that makes sense. I got
yeah,
my
no, absolutely
there.
Makes sense.
But I think if you find your truth, if you find the suit, the skin that fits you best as a songwriter, you'll write the best stuff. If you're sitting down trying to fit in with all the other people that are playing down the club and they're all playing, you know, Taylor Swift songs, and you don't really like Taylor Swift, you're more into Paul Simon or whoever, then be that. Be into that, even if it makes you look the odd one out, or you don't sound like anybody else, and actually people at the club don't particularly like it either. It's not important. What's important is that what you're doing is good and you believe in it, because if you find your voice and you find your aim, you'll write the best stuff, and by writing the best stuff, you'll come to the audience that wants to hear that yeah. and will appreciate that.
I think I've just written down here as you were saying it, because you said working out who you are and what you want to be, and you said find your truth. I think that's that is the key, isn't it? And I mean, I think I was thinking when I was reading this, as how do you do that? Because because sometimes you kid yourself, don't you? I mean, you know, I could sit here and think, you know what, I want to be a West Coast rapper.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not my truth. That's not where I'm from. That's not, as much as I might love music, rap music and things like that, I've got to find something that sits in with me and my message. So one of the things I wrote down is just, I mean, I was a bit wary about this, but do you ask other people what they perceive it, or do you ask for that kind of, what sort of musician do you think I am? I mean, I was a bit going to caveat that, because I think if I ask some of my friends what kind of musician I would be, they'd turn around to me and say, just don't bother.
yeah. I think there's a difference between sort of practicing to do a show to the extent that people enjoy it musically and you can perform and entertain. Because there's a difference between, I think, entertaining and communicating.
Yeah.
And I think songwriting is both of those. And, you know, if people are paying to come and see you, you need to entertain them, whether that be writing good songs or doing a light show or whatever. But I would have thought a lot of people write songs to communicate something. I certainly do. I'm trying to talk to everybody when I'm singing. And that's why this tip comes in. I've never asked anyone what sort of musician they think I am. But that's mainly because I want to say that I'm not really interested, which is the truth, but I don't want that to sound like I'm conceited. But for me, if you ask somebody else, they will just put you in a pigeonhole. They will say, oh, you sound a bit like, you know, country and western, or you sound a bit like this. When I was first starting out, you mentioned the Lucky Strikes. It's sort of a country rock, quite heavy, quite bit punky. And when we first started out, everyone said, oh, you sound just like Travis. You sound just like Travis, because Travis were big at the time. Mm. And we sounded nothing like Travis. And then, you know, now everyone goes, oh, you sound a bit like this. And it's whatever people's reference is.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that reference doesn't really apply to you. What applies to you is what is keeping you going, what is keeping you writing songs. But obviously, by all means, ask people if you want to know, if you want to, you know, if you want to do sort of like an audience test, you know, to see which songs work and so on, by all means. But I wouldn't necessarily put stock in what people think of.
No, that's
what
why
you're doing.
I wasn't entirely sure about how, but I kind of understand the point of finding your own truth. And I think what I've seen in people that I know have found their own truth and know the musician they want to be is they are comfortable when they are performing, and that comes across
absolutely
in the way that they sing and their lyrics, and
absolutely,
and that you can always tell somebody who's, I feel conflicted with who they are as a musician, because it just doesn't sit right to the listener.
That's a really good point, because and that totally hits the tip on the point, because, you know, if you're comfortable with what you're doing, you're comfortable performing, and that's worth its weight in gold.
Excellent. Right, that's a nice point to go on to the next song.
Okay. So this is all done live, ladies and gentlemen. So you're going to hear me detuning now.
There's no stabilizers in here.
Yeah. Okay, so this song is called Midnight Movies and is the first track off my new album called Clifftown. ¶¶
These thoughts, they would bury you if you offered them out loud. Your love song is too old to sing, too late for broken words, your heart covered in stains. Oh, Marie, you know it ain't so. Oh, Marie, I think you can't tell you. I am terrified every time I open my mouth. There are so many boys on the street. The rain flushes them out into this neon to feel the warmth in the winter months, to find a heart they can write upon. Living with an ache, they see black and they see blood. Words and whispers as loud as a scream, the echoing void when you were young and valueless and cheap, and I still yearn. I still need. Lions and lambs under a phantom sky, love unruly, profuses like bracken on the hillside. Always hungry, always wild. Dark night in the cellar of your soul, drinking at the bar, drinking alone. I track your traces and I walk down your street. Midnight movies and these lies that I keep. Oh, Marie, down on my knees, I'm crawling through the dirt and I'm so sorry that I ever thought that I could please.
Fantastic. So when's that out, Matt?
So the new album is out on the 23rd of April, 2021. Yeah, and it's available everywhere.
Was it all recorded in lockdown?
It wasn't. It's an interesting story. It was recorded years ago. It was actually recorded in 2019 in May. And it was recorded in a really cool studio in Powys in Middle Wales called Giant Wafer. And I went out there with a producer and six or seven musicians. And we just spent the week and we lived there in this barn. The cockerel woke us up at 4 a.m. every morning, you know, red kites flying in the sky. And we just sat in boxes and for, you know, 12 hours a day and recorded the songs.
So does this feel like an overdue pregnancy?
It does. I think the benefit, God, I can't believe I'm even going to say the benefit of COVID. There is no benefit to COVID. But I think that the lockdown gave me and the label more time to plan the release, which was really valuable. And also we got a few guest musicians on, and they had no excuse not to add their bits on because they were all in lockdown. So they were the benefits. I think the negative is obviously I sell a lot of records on tour, or I sell my records when I'm touring and gigging. I don't sell a lot online, and so the lockdown has really hampered the ability to go out and sell your wares, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully that's all changing now.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Okay, so let's move on to tip three.
Yeah, so tip three is a really regular one. I can imagine a lot of people on this podcast will say this in future, but it's show, don't tell, which I think is something that's picked from literature when you write novels, show, don't tell. And for me, this was a major turning point in my songwriting. And it's what it means is that don't tell people what you're trying to communicate. Show it by demonstration or show it by the story. So if you want to write a song, this is a really simple explanation. If you want to write a song about having your heart broken, don't write lyrics saying, I feel heartbroken, I feel sad. What you do is you write a situation that you've observed or you've been in or that you've experienced and say it in a way that people go, oh, that guy or that girl is heartbroken. And that's what showing, not telling, is about. And it's just a really important lesson. So I think if anyone was going to, you know, take something away on this particular tip, look at a song where you think you've been a bit too obvious and dress it up. Window dress it with some, you know, nice things. And I think this is, it also applies in, I picked it up when I was reading books and short stories. You know, when you read a really good book and that first page, that first killer line says something like, the house burnt down and no one knew I'd started it. Instantly you're thinking, God, what's the story? Why did this person start the fire? Why is the house burnt down? And that's what you've got to do with your song. You've got to have listeners thinking, well, why is this man or why is this character or why is this songwriter standing by the sea, you know, throwing their military medals into the water? You know, you've got to keep the suspense.
Yeah, and this was was one of the tips of your original 10 that I've had a few times that probably had the biggest impact on me, because I think when I first started to write things down, I think I was being very literal and and then realised that there's other ways of saying it, and as you've just said, then sort of a powerful opening to something, saying something like the indent in the chair where you used to sit calls to me, is it completely about something about loss or missing someone, or someone's not there and you have those pangs without actually just saying, I really miss you.
Exactly. And that's a really good example, because that line you've just mentioned about the indent in the chair, without explaining that, you knew exactly that's either a lover, a family relative that's passed away or whatever, or it could be anything to do with loss. All people are people. We're all humans. We all have emotions. And we'll lock into that straight away. Any audience will lock into those sort of emotive lyrics. And I think also, to add to that point, if you're developing a song and you haven't quite got the chops yet to do that showing, not telling, then by all means tell. Because once you're telling it, it goes back to that idea of writing prose. Once you tell it, you're like, this is what I want to say. Right, okay. I now know what I'm trying to convey. Right, now I need to go back and not say that and do it in another way.
Yeah, and the thing that I learned, and I learned this from you and some of the other songwriters that will be coming on the podcast, is that what it does by doing it that way is it makes it more accessible. I think when you start off, you think if you say, I miss someone, everyone's going to relate to missing someone. Yeah. But actually, if you say the indent in the chair, that's actually more of a connection to other people than you saying, I miss you. And
Absolutely.
That's what I've seemed to have learned. And I think that it makes you can say exactly the same things and convey them in a way that other people can access them easier.
Yeah, and I think by showing, not telling as well, it makes you more alert to the world and yourself, I think. You know, just as you say, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Ian. You know, if you're at a gig and you're singing, I miss you, people have heard that. There's been great songs that have already said that, classic songs. So most people will just be like, yeah, okay, I've got this. My brain's going to go off now. But if you're saying, you know, the blade ran red with blood, someone at the bar who's having a chat with them is going to go, what? What's he said? What's this song about? And it's that sort of luring people in. But then you're describing the stuff that hopefully you've observed, you feel, and that's going to be more rewarding to you as the songwriter.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay, so number four. What do we got for number
four? Yeah, so number four is related to showing, don't tell, telling. Showing, don't telling, showing, not telling. You know what I mean, folks.
Not speaking.
Yeah. This is why I write songs. I can't speak. And that is creating an environment. And this is something that's really important to me as a songwriter. It doesn't work for everyone. And it may not excite everyone or inspire everyone. But I really, really, really like songs that create a world within that song that you can visualise and you can see. And it's like, again, going back to books, it's like reading a book and you're in that world of the book. You're in the story of that book. And creating that picture, creating that environment is just, for me, really important. And I really love doing it. And my album, Cliff Town, is actually, for me, the distillation of my love of environment, because I'm creating, I'm trying to get references about what I'm seeing and where I am, and I want the listener to be in that place as well.
And would I be right to say that, having known you for a little while now, obviously you take a keen interest in history?
Yep.
Because I've certainly noticed in some of the songs that you do, there is that sense of history and storytelling through history that comes out, where you've actually put yourself in those, you've gone out and sought the history, not just read it, you've visited places to get that notion of the environment and to write that detail. Would that be correct?
Yeah, and I think, I'm really into history. I've studied history, and it's something I find really inspiring, and that's my truth. Mm. You know, I like writing songs about medieval things, which you don't hear an awful lot. And I'd like to think that because I like it and I'm into it and I see the value in it for myself, that is conveyed in the songs, and it doesn't come across as cheesy or dumb or something like that. And I think as you progress as a songwriter, you're not always going to be like super inspired. And I think I noticed that when we were doing the sessions with the young people, because they were 16, 17, 18. They've got all these emotions, everything's new. And I was there, and I know exactly what they wanted. They wanted to write 10 songs right there, right now, finish one, move on to the next. And, you know, I was doing that well into my 20s, my early 20s. I was like, I was so angst ridden and full of emotion. It's like, I've got to write about this, I've got to write about that. And I think as you grow older, you've done it. You've written that song. You've written this song. So where do you go from there? And I think that's when the craft comes in. You think, well, actually, I'm interested in this. And that doesn't actually have an immediate value. But actually, if I live with it and look into it and research it, I can come up with something that's got worth.
So just on that point, those angst-ridden songs, would you say in the journey of a songwriter, you've got to get those out? You've got to get beyond, to almost get beyond them.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Absolutely, 100%. Also, never not write a song because it's not the one that you want to write. I write every song. This can sound weird. I write every song that I write, but I don't play them all.
No.
So, you know, I've written since the lockdown, as just a general flag point, I've written probably 16, 17 songs. And the first three I know. One was called Gospatrick. One was called Chawaho. No one's ever going to hear those songs. But I wrote them because I had to. They were about things I really wanted to write about. Mm. And at the time, I was like, I really want to write about this thing. This, for example, Gospatrick, I wanted to make this really long-form song about people, and like a family. And I was like, I really want to do this. And it was in lockdown. And I wrote it, and it's not very good, but I got it out of my system. I was like, I tried that, and it didn't work, but I finished the song. And then you never know, because it's in my notebook, because I've recorded it, in a year's time, I might be like, I know what that song's about now. Mm. Let's bring it back into the workshop. Let's tinker with it. And I think certainly if you've got angst-ridden stuff, yes, you've got to write it, because that is the energy for the rest of your songwriting stuff. You've got to be writing that. And angst-ridden music is great. Yeah. There is lots of angst-ridden music out there. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing and you should avoid doing it, because real, really emotional stuff is heart-rendering, if it's done properly and it's got the, you know, the intent and the craft to it. So, yeah, write every song that comes to you. Yeah. And some of them are going to bomb. Some of them are going to crash and burn. Some are going to fly high and you'll get bored of them after 2 years and never play them again. Some are going to be fairly average, but you love playing them live, and they'll end up being the one that everyone wants you to play. You've got to accept them all. They're all your children.
Yeah.
And you've got to look after them all until you can let them go.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's probably the point I was trying to tease out there, is that sense you've just got to write everything, really, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And not put yourself off from it, because sometimes if you've got that idea, you've got to get past it to see the next.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, so we're on to the next song.
Right. So, rather I don't know whether this is a stupid thing. I think it is, but I've chosen to do a brand new song. So I'm hoping it goes well. We'll soon find out, ladies and gentlemen. I chose to do this one now because I hope this creates an environment. And it'll be interesting, not to put you on the spot, Ian, but if you listen to it, it goes well and I play it right. It would be interesting to see if you felt that you were in a place.
Yeah.
You might not have. It might have.
No pressure then.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay, so this is called City Map.
Standing below heroic fishing photos on a wall, she holds her hands like a Bible. I am the one you won't remember, she whispers as the piano note falls from the song. And fireworks burst from the neighbor's lawn. We stood on the porch in the dark. Is it true you can wake up somewhere new? City map in the bedside drawer. Breath till my lungs burn.
Fantastic. How did that go for you?
I thought the instrumental was played terribly, but hey, it's a new song, you can get away with it.
So, it's called City Map.
It's called City Map, yeah.
And the interesting thing I got right at the beginning of it, which for me set a scene, was of a young girl looking at a picture, perhaps of someone that was a father or that had died, that she was too young, and so therefore he doesn't remember or he wouldn't have remembered. Yeah. Or that's the image I got from it, and so then of this notion of her moving away or
yeah. And that's exactly what I was sort of hoping you'd say.
Yeah.
Because I think that, and that goes to that fourth tip, which is creating environment. Because for me, I'd hope that when you listen to that song, ignoring all the hideous bum notes and mistakes, but when you're listening, I hope you see a house.
Yeah.
And lots of photos on the wall, fishing photos on the wall, and then there's fireworks next door, so fireworks have to be done at night.
Yeah.
So it's at night time. They're standing on a porch, so there's a back garden, yeah. And it's probably a bit cold. So I hope that I've created that atmosphere, that boundary of two houses, fireworks in one lawn, some girl or lady standing by some photos, having a conversation with somebody else.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the fishing photos for me is something that I'm very familiar yeah. with, because we've got a lot of those heroic
fishing
photos
yeah.
at the lifeboats. Okay, counting up, I think we are now up to tip five.
What's yes.
tip five?
So tip five is, I've written down here, practice and develop ideas. And I think this is really important as a songwriter. It's certainly important for me, because if you play an instrument, you're probably writing songs on one or two instruments. You're either playing guitar, piano, maybe fiddle, you know, maybe bass guitar. You know, people, they're the compositional instruments, you know, in sort of, you know, sort of modern day songwriting. And you will only ever write a song to your ability. And I have found that if I practice my guitar more, I come up with more ideas, I come up with different ideas. And that is something that's invaluable, I think, as a songwriter, because you will stretch yourself. If you want to do this for a long time and you want to play shows and keep people's interest, you have to, in a way, keep changing and developing, because otherwise people not necessarily get tired of you, but, you know, what are you showing to, mm-hmm. to bring them into a concert? And a real big revelation for me was I never really rehearsed a lot when I started learning guitar. I enjoyed it immensely. But I started learning finger picking. So nearly all my songwriting now is done through finger picking. So I don't play with a plectrum anymore. I either play with just my bare fingers, or I have a thumb pick as well, for certain bass note stuff. And that has helped me write songs. So that song, City Map, Midnight Movies, are finger picked songs. And they wouldn't have come into existence if I hadn't have developed and practiced and learned different picking patterns and ways of playing guitar and learning the dynamics of the guitar. And yeah, so practice breeds creation and breeds ideas. So that is an important tip.
And would you say with the practicing, so it's practicing without the idea of a song in your head?
Yes, 100%. So yeah. So if you're writing songs now and you know, you play the normal sort of cowboy chords. You can play A, E, D, C, and all those chords, and that's how you write your songs, which is great, by the way. I'm doing exactly the same. But have you ever thought about doing triads with changing bass notes? And you might think, well, what does that mean? Well, go and find out. Go and Google, how do I play triads with changing bass notes? You'll find something on YouTube. Don't worry about whether it turns into a song. It's about learning something new on the guitar. And if you do that, you never know. You might come up with a fantastic, fantastic idea.
Excellent. I've just written that down. I'm going to go Google that afterwards. Okay. And we're now on to tip six.
So tip six is... I thought that said press up, but it says dress up. So tip six.
I was really interested about this one because I've written it down as dressing up.
Dressing up, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. So Bob Dylan had an amazing quote. I always like this quote. And he said, give a man a mask and he'll tell the truth. What a great line. And what tip six is about, and it's to get you out of that, maybe out of a hole you find yourself in, or a funk when you're writing songs, it's pretend to be someone else. Don't write as you. You know, I know I've been going on about finding your truth, but actually your truth can be found through somebody else. So dress up, be somebody else. You know, have you ever written a song from the perspective of a dog? Would that be any good? It could be total rubbish, but
I tried. It was a bit rough.
Yeah. Yeah, comedy.
Sorry.
But you know, that's an interesting look. And I write songs from a female perspective as well. So I will write songs as a female. And why I do that is because, one, it's different for me. I find it interesting and stimulating. Two, I can say things that I can't say as a man. So it allows me as a songwriter to get thoughts and ideas out. And yeah, it's a really good practice. So if you're looking for a different direction, just to freshen things up, write in another perspective.
And this is another a strong point that I've picked up from you in the past as well, about perspective and whose perspective it is. But just adding to that, you've said you've written from a woman's perspective. Do you have songs which write from different perspectives within the song?
That's a good question. Have I ever done that? I don't think I have. I don't think I have the patience. Maybe there are examples. I need to try.
Yeah, there are examples, like, because it becomes a twisted song, doesn't it? That the meaning changes with one person, I only say that because it's something that I've looked into doing with mine. Having listened to you talking about perspective, okay. I've always quite liked the idea of how two people can be right, but obviously someone's got to be wrong, and so the two sides of right, which actually are quite opposing in a perspective. That fascinates me.
And that would be I think that would be quite a challenging song to write, but what a rewarding song. Yeah, do it.
Yeah. If I could change my voice halfway through.
Yeah. We'd do it as a duet.
Yeah.
But then again, and that's the thing, you don't necessarily, you don't have to change your voice. You can just sing.
Yeah.
Don't spoon feed an audience. You know, they'll understand. If they care and they're listening, they'll get it. And they're the sort of that's the sort of thing that happens when people come up to you after a show and go, "So, did you? What did that mean?"
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, right, okay."
So I'm just going to have to ask you this point because it's kind of fits in with that because you've mentioned it. So these people that give long explanations about their songs before they play them, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. A really relevant question as well. I think it depends what type of gig it is. I don't like... From a personal perspective, when you're playing a show, you're entertaining people. And if you're an acoustic guitar and a voice, which is a normal explanation sort of show, talking is really good. Because if people are going to sit there for an hour and a half, for an hour, you just playing one acoustic song after the other... is going to be hard work for them and hard work for you. So breaking it up with chatting is good. I think introducing certain songs actually do add value to the performance. I do a song called Sean or Patrick, which was about a tramp I once met, and I always do a preamble for that. And people have said to me afterwards, "That's really good because I wouldn't have enjoyed the song as much." But it's a fine line because I'm not a fan of performers that do more talking than playing. Mm. So one of my golden rules, if you've ever seen me play live, is I never talk at the top. I always play a song first because that's what people have paid to come and see. Or, they want to hear some music. So play a song, maybe play two songs. You don't have to talk all the time.
I suppose when I listen to you and you perform and when I've known that you've spoken, when I talk about explaining the song, you add a value to the story in your explaining. You don't say, well, in this bit this happens,
absolutely,
because and the point that I was going with that is that there are people that their songs they think they're so complicated that they have to tell you at the beginning what it is because you won't get it, and there's a view that if they're not going to get it, you need to maybe change it or find a way for them to access it. It goes back to that accessibility, I suppose.
And also, you've destroyed the mystery because if they don't get it, that might actually be quite good.
Might listen again.
What does this mean? Yeah. I don't understand what this means. I want to listen to that again ask the songwriter. Whereas if you break it down for people, I don't think you should ever break something down. Talk about what inspired the song. Or, I went to the supermarket the other day and I fell over and this song's about that. Boom. And I think also it's if you've ever been a best man or you've done a comedy show or anything like that, that talk between songs is exactly like that. Yeah. That has got to be entertaining. It's not about exposition or it's not an academic lecture. You've got to... People are there having a beer, enjoying themselves, you hope. You've got to add to that experience. And it's sometimes I do gigs and I'm in a bad mood or I'm tired or I'm nervous and I tend not to talk as much. And sometimes when I'm really, really relaxed, I'll talk a lot more. Also, as a performer, you'll have set stories. So my Sean and Patrick story is a set story. I could repeat that right now for you. And that's like, I suppose, if a comedian's got a standard joke, that's if you're nervous or you're tired or you don't know what you're doing, go to those standard stories. And then when you feel confident, you can walk off that beaten path a little bit.
That's really good. And it's nice. I think just in that conversation there, we've kind of worked out that it's for songwriting, what I was getting at and what is the important part of that is not to break your songs down for people.
Absolutely, 100%.
Because leave that mystery, or write them in a way that they can they'll get something out of it, or they'll if you have to break every part of the song down to somebody, then you maybe need to rethink how you've done it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a painter, you know, if you create a painting and it's put up in a gallery, people take different things from that painting. Some people go, oh, that's a really aggressive painting and it means this. And it's like, no, I actually think it's quite serene. And it's not up to you how the audience receive your words or your music.
Perfect, perfect. And that leads us nicely into the next song.
Yes, so I'm going to...
Are you going to explain it?
Yeah.
Break it down for us, Matt.
Next 10 minutes. So this is a song written as a female. It's called Nights at the Aquarium. So hopefully it creates an environment and it's from a different perspective that I wouldn't normally have as me. And it's called Nights at the Aquarium. Here we go.
I like monsters in movies. Once you try to kill the hero, but they fail. Never come back for the sequel. There's a girl, she cries on the train. She tries hard to hide her face, and I want to say, not at all, we're ordinary, so carry on anyway. I clean people's houses, I sort through their things. Days off I go to the aquarium, just to walk amongst the fishes. I see friends Friday nights, bachelor girls, they are not satisfied. I drink the devil's blood and apologize for not feeling myself. You see, I thought I'd be so much more, not older with debts I cannot afford. I told you I wasn't kind, when do you become satisfied? Three shell restaurant, he does not know what he wants. I want him to love me, but when we're out his eyes, they are always roaming away. Nights at the aquarium, oh how I long for them. Nights of aqua blue, dreams subterranean. See fishes look magnificent, so colorful and innocent. And I think I could be colorful and innocent too.
Lovely. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Thanks, Ian.
Okay, so we're into the final stages. So
yes.
I think, counting right, we're up to number 7 of your tips.
Yeah, so number 7, this was something I didn't, I think, add when we were doing the sessions a few years back. But it's a really important one for me, and it's called tunings. And it's been a great liberator for me as a guitar player. So this kind of really only refers to guitar players. So apologies anyone who's composing on other instruments. But you've got your standard tuning on a guitar, and there's a whole world of different tunings out there that really make the guitar sound exotic, will completely open up your guitar playing. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Excuse me. Completely open up your guitar playing, and they'll just sound like nothing you've ever written before, and you don't have to know any theory. You just have to explore. You just have to have a go. And there's lots of different tunings that I use, and the simplest ones, in fact, that song that you've just heard and Midnight Movies and City Map were all in this tuning, which is standard tuning, but then your bottom E, your thick E string, you detune to D. So then if you just play a D major chord, you normally play a D major chord like this. But now you've got that bottom D tuned to, that bottom E rather, tuned to D, it sounds like this. Got that lovely depth. So you can play different shapes. You can detune that E to a C. You can detune that to a B as well. I also use Dadgad, which is a tuning, and I also use one called Open C. And then I also vary the Open C to a tuning that Nick Drake used. I also use a weird B tuning as well. Now, the drawback to this is if you're playing gigs, you either have to not be afraid of snapping strings or you take a lot of guitars with you, which can be a bit of a pain. But I don't know any theory about any of those tunings. I don't know how to do certain chord shapes or things. So I'm just winging it.
Fantastic.
I have fun doing it, and I think it's really good if you're at a stage where you've written lots of songs, you're feeling, oh, I just keep going to that G chord, I just need to write a song that's not in a G chord, try a different tuning, try something, and it'll freak you out. But
yeah, we tried this, so we did do this when we had you come to the Adult Songwriters Club. Yeah. And you set this as a piece of homework, and I went home and did it, and it was mind-blowing, really. Yeah. I went on Google and I got all the different tunings that you can do. I'm not sure I really came up with anything at the time. Okay. But exploring the guitar and understanding that, there was one song that I managed to get from it, which was okay, I really liked, but it was just, it just seemed to open up. Mm. A lot more options, which was really nice. And for somebody learning the guitar, I think it's a really important...
Yeah, and I think the fact that you said that you wrote a song, yeah, and it wasn't the best, but it created something. And it's not for everyone, but I find it really nice. And you get a lot of droning. You can, you know, if you're playing fingerstyle, you can just hit those lower strings and you get a drone, and it's a really nice feeling.
Excellent. Okay, so the final one, number 8. What have you got?
Right, so this is one that is really valuable, and it's come back to songs, tidy things up. And this is really hard to do because we've been talking today, Ian, about emotion and creation.
Yeah.
And creation and emotion and inspiration don't lend themselves to administration or tidying up or anything like that. No. But actually it's really important because what happens is you've written a song and you've played it a few times, you've done it live a few times, and you might be 90% happy with it, but there might be something in there that you're not happy with. It might be just a word or a way of you phrase something. You're like, this song's really good, but I kind of just ran out of inspiration towards the end. So the last verse is just a bit flat. Don't worry. Keep that verse in there because you need to keep that song going, but keep going back to it with a relaxed mind when it's not so desperate. I've got to write this song. You know, I've got to write a 4-minute song. I've done it. Thank God. It's out of my mind, but I'm not happy with it. That's fine. Don't be happy with it, but just enjoy playing it and go back to it. And you might be like, actually, now, if you know, 2 weeks later, I'm refreshed, or I've had a sleep, or I've done that bit of work thing that was distracting me. Now I've done that. Oh, I can see clearly. Mm. I can see clearly what this song needs. This is what it needs, or a chord that I couldn't get, or a chord progression.
So adding into that, because you mentioned about coming away from it, do you think sometimes that if you do hit a wall, or you, that actually going away will help you solve it when you come back to tinker around? So
absolutely, 100%. Yeah. If it's not working, let it go. I mean, pursue it. Don't give up. You know, it's if you go, oh, it's not working after 5 minutes.
And when we say go away from it, actually, I think it's, would you say it's important to do something, not just sit there and stew on it for half an hour until you go back to it? Just go and do something. Go for a walk.
Absolutely,
something active. Do something that will just take your mind away.
Yes, absolutely. A rested mind is more. My normal process would be, it's very rare these days that I will write a song in one sitting. So, for example, I'm writing a new song at the moment, and I've got a verse, and I had a verse for about a week, but I didn't go, oh God, I can't get anything else. I just had the verse, so I just played that verse, and I really tightened that verse up and just enjoyed playing it. Mm. And then I got a chorus. I a week later, I was relaxed and I just played. I was playing with a chorus and I thought, well, I'm going to sit down for 20 minutes and I will just think about a chorus. I won't think about whether there's going to be another verse or a bridge or how it's going to end or whatever, where the lyrics are going. Just have a play. And I came up with this amazing chorus, which then made the first verse look terrible. So then I was like, oh no, now I've got a bad verse, which I thought was good, and a good chorus. It's okay, leave it. And now I've got a good verse and a good chorus. Got Excellent. Nothing else, but that's taken about 3.5 weeks. Mm. But I'm in no rush. Yeah. So whereas some days you might just be really inspired and you dash it off in 5 minutes. So But if it's not working, don't beat yourself up about it. Pursue it to an extent. You know, set time limits. Maybe if you're not getting inspiration, go, right, I'm going to do this for another 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I'm going to hammer this one line. It's this one line that I can't get, so I'm just going to keep writing different lines for the next 20 minutes, and then I'm going to go away. And then you come back and you look, and you may have written 20 second lines, and you might be like, actually, line 11... kind of is what I want to say, but it's not quite there. But line 10 or line 5, that word I really like. So maybe can I marry the two? And you do things like that.
Excellent. Wow, that's been marvellous, Matt. We're at number 8.
Yeah. Hopefully I haven't talked too much.
No, that's brilliant. It's been fantastic. What a great first episode to kick us off. So what I'd ask you to do is if you could first just summarise all your 8. So just read top to bottom, 1 to 8.
Yes. So
your tips for better songwriting.
So my 8 tips for better songwriting are, number 1, keep a notebook so you can keep all your ideas fresh and accessible. Number 2, work out who you want to be as a musician and what you want to say, because that's going to give you confidence and it's going to make it enjoyable for you. Tip 3, show, don't tell, because that just makes for a more interesting song. Tip 4, create an environment. You know, put the listener into somewhere, whether it's a room or a country or a time of day. It's really evocative for songs. Tip 5, practice and develop ideas. Practice your instrument, because through that you're going to get new ideas and fresh songs that don't sound like all the others you've written. Tip 6, dress up, play a character, see something from a different perspective, because that will not only make your lyrics sound different from each other, but it might also give you a bit of freedom to say things that you might be thinking but you don't want to say in your current guise. Tip 7, one particular for me, play around with guitar tunings. It makes the guitar sound wonderful, you come up with lots of interesting ideas and it's really fun. And tip 8, come back to songs, tinker with them, because, you know, none of us write songs straight out that we love 100%. So don't be afraid to just let them stew and come back with a rested mind. And I guarantee you'll see things clearly and you'll suddenly go, oh, you know, that 30-minute break or that 2-week break has solved that issue for me.
Fantastic. So what I'll do, Matt, if it's okay with you, is I'll take a picture of your
neatly
written notes in your notepad, and I can post your 8 tips up on our Instagram page.
Of course.
So one of the other last things that we need to do, Matt, is just set a challenge for people listening with their songwriting. So what's the challenge that you've got for them?
Yeah, I thought I could set lots of challenges, but I think a good one is, if we go back to that environment, and if you want to write a song or try to write a song or a verse which puts the listener in a place. So think about your environment, whether it be your bedroom or your living room, your house, your neighbourhood, your bus journey into work. Think about that and observe the things on that environment or in that journey and try and convey that in lyrics.
Great. And if anybody takes up that challenge, and we hope that you do, and you get some results from it, please tag us in on Instagram and we'll share that around. So before you play us out and we wrap up this very first episode, can you just tell everybody where they can hear you, how they can access your social media?
Yeah. So my name's MG Bolter. My website is www.mgbolter.co.uk, and you can buy all my records and my new record, Clifftown, if you like what you hear. And I'm on Bandcamp and Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, all those things. You could just type in MG Bolter, B-O-U-L-T-E-R, and you'll find me.
And I know we mentioned merchandise earlier on, and I know that you do vinyl.
Yes.
But you can only get them at the shows. So when are you gigging next? Is there any plans coming up?
Yeah, so obviously the pandemic makes things very difficult. I have got lots of shows coming up. If all being well, let's hope we can all get back to things. But yeah, I've got an autumn 21 tour. And I'm playing all over the country. For anyone listening locally to Southend, I'm playing the Fisherman's Chapel on the 17th of September. You heard that here first. I've not announced that yet. But yeah, if you go on my social media, I'm touring around.
We look forward to that. Okay, Matt. Thank you so much. That's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed that.
Ian, it's been a pleasure being here. I loved it. Thank you.
And if you don't mind, play us out with a final song.
Okay. So I'm going to play you a song called Icy Paw.
We walked out on the feast of Stephen. We were out and up and away. Midnight black, black scarab, black. Bitter hearts in flight on wing. We prayed hard like children, we were scarred from the bolts of the jetty that had scratched our. Now snowbanks sang in the wildness. Did anyone really notice we were gone?
Thank you for listening to the Songwriters Club podcast, hosted by Ian John, produced by Joe Lamb, and recorded at London Road Studios. For behind-the-scenes videos, pictures, and a summary of all the tips and advice you've heard today, please follow us on Instagram at songwriters_club_podcast.